All right, and then we will move on to, thank you, Rini Aishat. We move on to subsidiaries that are SMEs. I give the floor to Elizabeth.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Carlo's going to introduce the paper, but before he does, I just wanted to give you a very brief update on how we're structuring these draft exposure draft, because this might be helpful to your discussion. So firstly, it will say nothing at all about recognition measurement requirements. It's been drafted purely as a disclosure standard, oh, a draft exposure draft, I should say, like IFRS 7, IFRS 12 are. Consequently, we plan to have a short scope section, a few more paragraphs of additional explanation, and then the disclosure requirements section, which is clearly the vast majority. The disclosure requirements section will reproduce each disclosure requirement that will be applicable to an entity applying it, and it will be structured by standard. It will have subheadings. So, for example, if an entity has got some leases applied IFRS 16 and wants to know which disclosures it needs to give, it would just find the subheading of IFRS 16, and then the disclosures underneath that will be the ones that it will need to give. In an appendix, we will list which paragraphs of the other IFRS standards do not apply to the disclosure ones, but we'll list them, you know, carriage 23 to 25 or whatever. Finally, there are a few disclosure requirements in standards that we are going to have remain applicable, and this is primarily in IS1 and primarily just for ease of reading, because they're odd paragraphs in the middle of a long recognition and measurement section, and we actually just think it's easier. So we will separate, in a separate appendix, we'll also reproduce those so that we will have one comprehensive package. So I just wanted you to have that information background. So I will hand over to Carlo, who will introduce the paper.
Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth. So the paper for this month...
One second. I hear a lot of background noise. So can you all please make sure you're on mute when you're not talking? Thank you. Yes, Carlo.
Yep. Thank you, Hans. So the paper for this month's meeting is about due process and ask you for permission to begin the balloting process for the exposure draft and what comment period you wish to set. So last month, you decided to publish an exposure draft as the next due process step for the project. Due process steps undertaken so far are detailed in paragraphs 8 to 16 of the paper and further summarized in Appendix A. So other appendices are included for your information about topics discussed with the board and its consultative bodies, project background, summary of tentative decisions, and summary analysis of the expected effects. Now, we believe that this demonstrates that the board has completed all the steps necessary for the balloting of the exposure draft. And with that, we draw your attention to questions 1 and 2 of the paper. So first, is the board satisfied that it has complied with the applicable due process steps and that it should begin the balloting process for the exposure draft? And second, does any board member intend to dissent from the proposals in the exposure draft? So I will say a few words about our recommendation for the comment period after you have voted on questions 1 and 2. So I will stop here and invite your comments.
Any comments?
I think questions? We can probably just vote on question 1 and 2. That's straightforward, yeah?
Yeah, okay. So, permission to ballot. Who is in favor?
13.
Are there any likely dissents? Françoise?
One.
Yes? You want to say anything, Françoise?
Yes, please. Thank you. Yes, I mean, you've heard my reasons around the scope of this standard, and I'm not going to repeat everything today. So that's the reason for my dissent. And also, in our discussion, it was mentioned, you know, that I was reasoning on a technical basis only. But I really have also strong arguments from the strategic perspective in relation to how we apply our mission statement, and also around the IFRS for SMEs. So it's not only technical, it's also from a wider picture. And I guess all this will be featured in the dissenting view.
Okay. Thank you very much, Françoise. Then on the comment period.
Thank you, Hans. So let me talk about the comment period. So as noted in the due process handbook, the board normally allows a minimum period of 120 days for comment for an exposure draft. So in developing a recommendation, we considered that the proposals to be set out in the exposure draft are not complex. It does not introduce any new accounting or disclosure requirements. And as Elizabeth has noted earlier, the document will be drafted such that preparers will be able to read in a single document which disclosures it needs to give and which requirements in other standards it is exempt from. So the project aims to provide relief to preparers. Thus, any steps undertaken that prolong the standard setting process delays the benefits that could be available to them. And lastly, per current timeline, many other consultation documents, both that are currently out for comment and forthcoming, would not overlap with the project's exposure draft when it is published in the second half of 2021 as planned. So in balance, we think that the comment period of 120 days would be sufficient for the project. So with that, let me draw your attention to question three, invite any comments, and ask whether you agree with this recommendation.
Sue?
Thanks. I think I'm okay with 120 days, but I'm not so convinced as the staff seems to be about this not being so complex for people to look at and respond to, at least if we want thoughtful feedback, because the way that the document's going to be structured, it's going to set out what is required to be disclosed if you apply this regime. But I think we really want people not just to think about what they have to disclose, but sort of the inverse of that, what they're not disclosing. And in particular, I think I would want some level of comfort from people that investors are happy with the information set they're going to get as well. And it takes quite a bit of time, both for preparers, if we want them to think about what they're not providing, as opposed to just what they are going to be disclosing. Based on our own experience as board members, when we looked at what, you know, had been eliminated when we went through the background to this document, and also to get investor input, I don't think that that's that straightforward for people. I think 120 days is okay, but sort of only just for me, I have to say. And I really do think we need to be think of ways to make sure that people are going to be thinking about both sides of this, not just what is being disclosed, but what's gone and whether that set that's left is appropriate for the investors that we have in mind.
Tadeu?
Thank you, Hans. I think that first, thank you very much, Elizabeth, for the paper. You mentioned paragraph 17, that the 120 days is the minimum comment period, and this is a staff recommendation. I would prefer a longer period for two main reasons. First, I agree that the proposal is complex, is not complex, sorry, but because its coverage is pervasive, it involves all IFRS standards, assessing the proposal, and we did this internal process, is laborious. Even if it has the IFRS for SME standard as a starting point, it still need to deal with the disclosure requirements in all situations where we have recognition and measurement differences between IFRS and IFRS for SME. Actually, if you just look at the paper, for most of the standard, it was necessary to add or adjust disclosures, or as Sue said, make some judgment whether some information should be there or not. And secondly, I also agree the project will provide relief to preparers, but when the document is read for comment, it is likely our stakeholders are still suffering with the pandemic when the document is published. We hope that we have already left most of the pandemic behind us, but I still think that if we can have a longer period, I don't think that 180 is the right answer. That's why I would stay in 150 days. I think that it will help our stakeholders to assess the proposal and respond with more quality. Thank you.
Thanks, Tadeo. Martin.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. And I also think we need a little bit longer comment period for this project, because maybe it is not technical so complex, but it has to do with any kind of IFRS standard, which we have measurement and recognition. difference between full IFRS and the SME standard. So if you want to really go thoroughly through our rationale and think, okay, have we taken the right decisions, it take quite a long period if you want to do that. And I think we have all experienced that when we have done the review of that in these areas, how difficult it is maybe to compare then the two standards and say, okay, what is appropriate and what not. Therefore, I would at least say we need 150, but better 180 days comment period. Thanks.
Tom?
Just have a question. I just want to confirm, there is going to be a question about scope, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Rika?
I'm just want to make sure with the staff about whether any plan for field work based on this exposure draft. Do you think it's worthwhile doing?
So, Rika, if I respond, we haven't planned field work, although we Elizabeth and the team have been working with a group of preparers who have already contacted us about interest. So I think we would go back to that group of preparers and talk to them about it. So we would plan to stay in contact with the GPF group as well. So we do see preparers as being a focus of our outreach.
So if I take into that that into consideration, and I maybe not support to 120-day comment letter, I think longer comment period will be more feasible for preparers to engage in the field work and extensive outreach.
Mary?
Thanks, Hans. It's a comment prompted by Sue's observation and about the what the challenges may be and how we want comments on both sides, not just what's there, but also what has been removed. And rather than focus on the comment period, it actually makes me say, I think we really need a piece, a specific piece of collateral for our consultation. I think it should not be, not necessarily be in the document and not what I would expect to live on afterwards, but I think something that goes beyond, let's say, a black line of the full IFRS standard, you know, you can take the full IFRS standards, blackline them for what is being deleted, but I think that could be quite difficult to follow. I think we need to provide some kind of overview that highlights both the shift to a more high level, less specific set of disclosure requirements in the first instance, and then secondly, kind of an overview of at least the main things that are explicitly required that would not be explicitly required by the redrafted requirements, so that that helps users of financial statements. And you know, we have to target the users who are users of SME financial statements, not not the broader base, but that helps people think about what their changes in expectation should be. So it's a comment about something I think would help with whatever length comment period we have to get that kind of balanced input. Thanks.
I must say that I also have some sympathy for a longer period, let's say 180 days, given that we already had some hesitation about the 120 days for the agenda consultation. Let's just take a vote for 120 days and then we can see if there perhaps is a majority for a bit longer. So 120 days, who can support?
Five.
So let's then try 180 days. Sue, you can vote twice if you want. You don't have to be consistent.
Seven.
Well,
So that's a majority.
I suppose that's...
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Enough. Okay, right. Okay.